This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and today we have one of the power couples of Hollywood. It's Corbin Burnson and Amanda Pays, and they're going to talk about their new book, Open House, Reinventing Space for Simple Living, from Gibb Smith. Hello, guys.
Hello there.
Good morning, I suppose.
I like that hello, Amanda. That was wonderful. A nice cheery hello. It's early out there in California.
Yeah, but you know what? We're early risers. We're up at like between 5:30 and 6 every morning. We love the morning.
That's great. Yeah, mornings are, it's nice in the quiet of the morning. A lot of times you wake up and you hear the birds or whatever, and you know, that's always a nice time. How did this book come about? This is...
This book came about a year ago. Basically, I mean, people are friends, having known us over the years and sort of moving, renovating houses, have always been saying, like, you should do a book. And, you know, we were busy doing other things. But basically, a year ago, somebody approached me with the idea of, like, actually doing a book. So I sat down and I thought, okay, what is this book? Because, you know, we've flipped houses, we've done various different things in the field of design and you know, renovation. So I kind of got in touch with a writer to kind of flesh out the idea and pitched it to Gibb Smith, and my friend Captain Ireland actually turned me on to Gibb Smith, who sort of said, yes, let's do it. And so a year later we got the book in our hands,
and people along the way had been coming up to me, and it didn't work so organically quite like this, but you know, saying, Corbin, when are you going to do your biography? When are you going to be, you know, I always talk about my family on a Facebook post that I do almost daily. The importance of family and in the films that I make. Everybody was on to us, me/us, to talk about our family. Let's find a show to do. Let's, everybody wanted to hear about it. And the nice, I guess it wasn't really intended, but it's become a wonderful little beginning of the journey of our family. You know, not an autobiography by any means, but or a biography of us. People wanted to know our story. And what's interesting is we're getting a lot of feedback and comments. I just read your book cover to cover, and it's interesting because you don't really hear people say they read coffee table books. You know,
right? Exactly.
Pictures. It looks nice. But it does, it reads as a wonderful story and really sort of cracks the door open to our family, how we operate, live, and the values of our life.
Right. And you have four boys.
That's right.
Although yeah. They're not boys anymore. They're grown men now, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah, they're big, yeah.
They're all taller than me.
Are they? Is that right? And your book?
That happened a long time ago.
Now, I know, Corbin, you're still acting. Amanda, are you still acting, too?
I've been doing a sort of recurring role in the new Flash series, but not really acting apart from that.
I mean, and other than what I pictured her to try to do.
Right.
I think she's great, but she just won't have any of it.
Yeah, no. The book is kind of exciting for me because I'd like it to open some doors into other areas, if possible.
It's a beautiful book. I mean, just looking through the pictures, you could look through the pictures time and time again, just looking at, we feel like we're getting a glimpse inside your life.
Yeah, and I think the DIY kind of aspect to it as well is helpful. It's not just a kind of a design book. It's more of a sort of a, this is kind of our philosophy, this is the process, you know, which we go about houses and tips and budget and all that. It's, you know, a mix of everything.
Mm-hmm. I noticed one of your sons has your eyes, Amanda. I can see your eyes right in him.
Oh, okay. Which one is that?
I think it's your youngest, if I remember correctly.
Oh, Finley, yes.
He definitely has your eyes. I mean, the other three have Corbin's eyes, I see. Looks like it, anyway.
Perfect.
Anyway. Although, I don't know. You know, now that I look at it, you know, it could be a little of both, but he definitely has your eyes. I can see it.
That's what... Well, I want them back.
That's right. Now, did your kids help you out with the book at all? Or was it just you guys?
No. My eldest son, our eldest son, Oliver, who's actually a very talented artist, filmmaker, creative person, designed the book. He designed it. He did the whole layout with us. He was really, instrumental in actually getting that the clean kind of simplicity into the book, which was important because that's the whole sort of idea of our style. And I wanted the book to also kind of, mirror that.
Also, I think the, while they didn't participate in the day-to-day, let's get it shipped in and shipped out and sold part of the book, the book is so much about the heart of our family. And it's beyond, like, oh, they were supportive. I mean, they were there for photographs and sessions and things, so they... They did participate because without their again, I hate the support, kind of the wrong word, without their input, without their being, it really wouldn't feel quite the same. And if we had one sort of outcast son of four, it would be a very different book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, exactly.
We wouldn't all be in the tent together.
I love the picture of the red Corvette and you, and Amanda, you sitting in Corvette's lap. I love that picture. It's my favorite color.
Yeah, that was early days, that one. Before I made him sell the Corvette and move on to a more sensible car.
Right.
Even to the archives for some of these photos.
That's right. Yeah, but they're priceless.
I thought they all had vanished in the earthquake of 93, I was hoping.
Oh, yeah, there were some rough times back then for you guys.
What?
Yeah, the 94 when you had the earthquake and...
Oh, yes.
Corbin was something with the TV show, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, that kind of... It was a piece of a catalyst that after L.A. Law that we... In a really strange way, sometimes you look at the events of life and they all move you in a direction. And that was definitely an event that moved us because L.A. Law had ended... I was very fearful of, as most actors are, I don't know if I'll ever work again. We had built this big, beautiful home that, it had an expense to it to keep it running, to keep the machine running. And then the earthquake came, LA Law ended, and I think that's when we both said, let's flee for a while, and we moved to England, which started Green Farm, which is,
We didn't know at that point that actually these events have helped create this journey and this book, the outcome of that.
But, of course, events of our lives do create the journey of our lives.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, how many different houses are in this book?
I believe it's seven chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of those chapters is two flip houses that we did in between the actual living ones. I mean, we've obviously moved a lot more than that, but this is just covering six of the good homes.
Six of the major homes that we've lived in, and six of the 20 or so,
yeah.
And photographed. But the flip homes are a side note in it because it was a chapter of our lives, if you will, about taking this thing we've done with our own home.
Right.
And applying it to a business model.
Right.
So it did, in fact, become part of our story, several homes are featured in there. But we keep talking about it. We're not quite sure. I have to go back and do a count again of how many homes. We say 20. And
we're going to the number 20.
But it's really, I think when we were remodeling homes and we couldn't quite get in yet, we'd go rent a home a block away and live there for four or six months. But we'd spend $20,000 on remodeling that house. And it was a rental house just so it felt like it was okay for us to live in, which was absurd.
Yeah.
We probably spent way too much money in rental homes. Not the cost of the home, but fixing them up.
Because it's important. Our environment is so important to us. We just have to make it comfortable.
The Republican State of the Beverly Hills Hotel for all those.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are coming up on your, 30th wedding anniversary? Is that next year?
Yeah.
What's the secret to staying together? I mean, how have you stayed together for so long? I mean, we all know in Hollywood, you know.
No. Sex every morning.
Oh, God.
What's that?
Moving every other year.
Well, she's busy. I'm joking, of course. But, I think our friendship is there. It's a cornerstone of our relationship, is our friendship. We enjoy doing things together. Amanda's been wonderful. She's an English girl and likes baseball, football, and basketball. I adapted to her taste in homes and remodeling and decoration, even though I had some affinity toward that before. But she said it's just this moving thing is very interesting. You keep reinventing the space you live in. Our things come with us. Our George Carlin, our stuff comes with us, so it feels familiar. But here's a new home, a new bedroom, a new kitchen. It inspires you to try new meals, to sleep on this side of the bed, try new sheet. It just changes things up. I think when people become too sedentary into their routine and lives and sit there for 10 and 20 years, when the going gets tough, they kind of sink in that hole. And we always get this fresh uplift of there's a new adventure.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it.
We
go off around the country together on a road trip to do some book signings, and it was kind of exciting, It's keeping it fresh.
When people know you both, I mean, you're such familiar faces that it's nice that when you go to a book signing, you see a familiar face like you guys. I mean, Corbin, we've seen you for years. I mean, you've been on TV and movies for years, and it's like you're almost family to people.
We'll find out when we get to a Barnes & Noble and nobody's there.
Oh, come on now, that can't be true. Now, you just did us.
We've got people coming, just in case.
Yeah, okay.
we've got a backup crew that always will appear at every Barnes & Noble.
You know those protest rallies in Washington where they called up all those people to come out and participate for free?
We hired them.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
I know. You do like to kid around, don't you, Corbin? You have your mother's sense of humor, I can see.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you play it straight, life's a straight line.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? The last episode of Young and Restless that your mother was on my birthday.
Wow, the one where she says goodnight?
Yeah.
She signs off to her career?
Yeah, I was looking at that and I said, May 3rd, wow, that's my birthday. Seemed kind of weird.
Those last words that she said, I don't know if you know this, but in that scene where she's walking up the stairs and Jill is down below, or I forget who it is, and says, can I help you? I think it's Jill says, can I help you, Mrs. Vance? She says, no, I'll be fine, which was scripted. My mother takes two more steps, turns around, and ad-libs, good night. Those are her last acting words.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's pretty chilling. I didn't know that. They called me into the Young and Restless office about a week or two weeks after and said, I hope you can appreciate this, but we have to deal with what we're going to do. This is a character who's been around for 40 years, and we know we don't want to recast her, so we'd like to discuss with you, to share with your family, some of our thoughts about what we're going to do, and they had that wonderful tribute show to her. And at that point, the producer, was a friend of mine, said, have you seen this last episode? Or you haven't seen it, but I want to show it to you before it's on. And she showed me this, and I was floored. As you see that she improvised good night as her last words on film, are good night.
What a powerhouse. I mean, how could you ever replace somebody like that?
On your birthday.
Yeah.
That was your birthday.
I know, isn't that strange? But I mean, renovating houses. Have you always enjoyed that, or when did you first get started doing it?
Well, okay, so we both. Well, actually, when we we realized that we both, when we met, both loved it. But I grew up in a family, actually, they were in the entertainment business, but my father, like us, wasn't always acting. When he was out of work, he would go and, like, find a house and buy it and renovate it and sell it. Flip it. He was working in the sort of 70s, early 70s. And so he would drag me around with him. He would look at me, and I always remember that he'd say, "What do you think?" And I'd say, "It's got potential." So that was something that we, you know, I had growing up. And then, I bought my first house actually in England when I was, 21. That's how I got into it. And Corbin, also, you were a carpenter.
Yeah, I basically was trained. That was my training pre, you know, college and all of that. As a carpenter, I made bucks, my beer money on the weekends. I worked on a construction crew, and I learned to frame and appreciated structure of house style. The interior really wasn't so much on my radar. When I did L.A. Law, I bought my first house, and the Santa Fe style was very popular. It was the thing. It was store had Santa Fe. So I did this.
Not in England.
Not in England, but we're in America, I love. And so I just redid my entire house, this beautiful Santa Fe style, with some things that were nice, some architectural pieces,
yeah,
like we do, doors roll, beams roll. But Amanda came in, and after spending $200,000, within a week, she said, "This all changes.
This has to go.
Right.
I can't live in this."
and thus the beginning of the way our relationship works. But I think that was, another thing we don't really say. We both really do have an instinct for and roots in homes and renovation. And you know, our style can vary and be different. I've come around to Amanda's style a bit more. She's the lead there. But our roots in the idea of renovation and all that, leads to, you know, moving. It's not really, when we move, we have a system.
Yeah.
We can pack up within 3 or 4 days, and the boxes get very neatly organized.
Corbett Virgo.
They come off the truck, and people are amazed. But when we move-in day, if you will, you know, within 48 hours,
yeah,
I'd say, everything's been away. It looks like we've lived there for years.
That's right. Yeah, we've got the system down. We actually are, you know, we should actually start this moving company.
Not going to happen.
I'm wondering, on page 91, what's laying in the yard there? They look like balls or something. What is that?
We do have four sons. Could very well be balls.
But they're like silver balls. They don't look like, you know, the kind of balls you just...
I think they're probably those big cement balls, Amanda.
Boule.
French
boule.
Yeah.
That's a French game. It's called boule, and you have a tiny little ball, and then you've got like four or five big silver heavy balls, and you try and hit. You have to try and hit the little tiny ball. In France, in our little home in France, we also have a boule court in the garden, and it's a fun thing to do, especially at night after a few bottles of rosé.
Yeah, it's boule, B-O-U-L-L-E-S, or there's also...
B-O-U-L-E-S.
B-O-U-L-E-S, and it's also called Petang.
Petang.
How do you spell that?
He can Google it.
P-E-T-A-N-Q-U-E.
Petang, yeah.
Some of these pictures. I'm just looking at the pictures of this book, and it's just. Now, tell me about this tunnel. What house had this tunnel? I'm fascinated by this tunnel.
Numero uno.
The first house?
The first house we did, in Beverly Hills.
What it is, if you look on the page previous, you can't really see
page
it.
Page 17.
You can't really see it there. I mean, you get a little view of it. In the right hand pictures in the middle, you'll see the beginning of the pool, but you'll see the house. Anyway, the entertainment room in this 10,000 square foot house was essentially down and around a U shape. The whole house was in a U around the garden. The kitchen was on the opposite side of the U. So when you're down in the entertainment area, which is also because of the slope of the hill, down a level, if you want to go to the kitchen to get another bottle of wine or bringing appetizers or food over to this huge room, you had to basically go upstairs and walk around the hallway to the to the kitchen. And when we were at this stage that you see in on that page there, 17, I looked across and with all the dirt there and everything, I said, well, how hard would it be to get from the kitchen, which you see on the right there with the chimney coming up,
right,
over to the recreation room? I said, you know, I want to get right there, and I don't want to go outside, which you could do. So I said, let's dig a tunnel. How much would it be to dig a tunnel and put a tunnel in? And the contractor said, oh, I don't know, 50, 60 grand. And I basically said, get your shovel out and start digging.
50, and, 60 grand, whoa.
Well, because you're going down, and you have to reinforce all the walls. And then, of course, well, it, I think he said 40. By the time we were done, it was around 60 because I wanted to get a tunnel. I didn't want it to look like, you know, something connected to sprinkler yards together. I wanted it to look like a, you know, stadium where you...
I mean, how was it designed for?
And it was... And,
It did make sense,
and it actually was, it's part of that cost was deconstructing what was already done.
Like storage room, weren't we?
Yeah, but we could have done it if we had foresight. It would have been a lot less, you know, especially when they were already moving the land, and they could have built, but now they had to basically dig a trench and build this thing with enough space to build it with blocks, and they put that curved ceiling in, and then we did other things like we plastered it, these wonderful Turkish lights in it, and
limestone floor.
So it became sort of a feature. But that said, it was a feature that makes that house very special. And you know, Steve Martin moved into that house.
Oh, really?
He bought it from us. And you know, to this day, we hear people say, "I was over at his house, and gosh, that tunnel."
Yeah.
So it's cool. Yeah, it's part of our legacy, and it really is a very special house that was.
How long did you live there?
Not long. 3 years.
3 years till the earthquake, basically.
Right.
After the earthquake, then L.A. law. Everything sort of, it all ended up the earthquake. The L.A. law was ending. Yeah, I'd done 8 years. We had a growing family. Back then, there wasn't space there.
I wanted to share England with everybody. It was a time when I wanted to be close to my family, and it was perfect timing for that.
Yeah, and as it turns out, you know, there's a wonderful force in nature that, you know, drives us there. And Amanda got to spend 3 or 4 years with her dad because he then passed away after that.
Right.
And, a little bit young. And so nobody saw that coming. And we didn't even know it while we were there. And it wasn't,
looking back,
there was a reason.
But that's part of the journey.
Yeah, nature has a wonderful way of, we've been very blessed with nature, God, whatever you want to call it, has moved us through various channels for life to be exactly as it should be.
I love this picture of you with your son on page 16, sitting in your lap. That is such a wonderful picture. What a cute kid.
Well, in the tractor.
Oh, yeah, the tractor, yeah. It is a tractor. I didn't realize at first it was a tractor. At first it looked like a table. You're right, it is a tractor. I didn't realize that at first. But that's such a great picture.
That's the tractor driver. What happened was there, he had this tractor who basically was on call for about a year, but kept his tractor there, like, dig the tunnel. Yeah, it was a little bit of sneaky stuff going on, you know, when we were getting the house built. And a lot of people, you know, you're on a big TV show and you're very visible, so they spend your money very freely. Yeah, and if you're not smart, and at that point in time, that we weren't not smart, but we weren't really keeping an eye on it. And this tractor guy was there every day, even though he didn't have stuff to do. And by the time we got, you know, I was like, well, we don't know when we're going to need him because we got to move this, we got to move that. And we said, okay, well, if he's here, at least he's going to give tractor rides to the kid. Very expensive, $345 a day tractor rides to the kid.
Really? Oh, they must have loved that.
Yeah, they loved it. He loved it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, tell me about your snow globe collection. It was 8,000. Is it more than that now?
Yeah, it is probably. Probably about 8,500. We cataloged it all right before we pretty much packed it up for this couple-year journey we're on, because I keep it in my office. And I was actually afraid of earthquakes, so I have shelves, and it's wonderfully displayed, but I was a little worried that while in our travels I'd hear of an earthquake in L.A. and they're all on the floor broken. So I basically sealed them off on their shelves with plywood. But it's about 8,000. I'd say there's another, I still, even on our recent trip to France, I probably picked up another 20. So it keeps growing much slower than it used to. I'm not quite on the hunt like I used to be. And hopefully in the next year or so, I'm going to do something with it. I got to figure out what to do with it. The kids aren't really interested in it. It has a great value. I'd love to put it somewhere where it's being shared.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get it certified for the Guinness Book of World Records, which I know there are some collections larger than mine in by word of mouth, but the one that they have is Guinness is so small now that mine goes way past it. So I'm going to do that, and there's always this notion of trying to do a book of some sort, which, if these books are successful, this one, and we have an idea for another one, if we get into that world, maybe I'll share some of my life through my snow globe adventure. So it's definitely in there, and it's something that was fascinating to me. They hold a fascination. I can't really explain what it is, but and then you start getting a collection going, and if you know any collectors, you get a bug about something, you tend to run with it.
You're both very easy to talk to. I mean, you're very talkative and friendly. Have you always been like that?
Yeah, Corbin's a good talker. He's I'm taking him on the road with me just because I love. He can do all.
He loves the sound of my voice.
Loves the sound of his voice, and he's just, get him on a roll, and he won't stop.
I'll tell you, vodka at 5 in the morning really helps.
Now, has the Psych movie aired yet, or is it going to air?
Psych movie is Christmas. It'll be airing at Christmas on USA. Yeah.
That must have been fun to get back with the guys.
It was the guys and the girls. Yeah, it was fantastic. We had a little bit of a hiccup in there with Timothy Amundsen, who played Lasseter, had a stroke a couple of weeks before.
Oh, wow.
And he was only able to participate marginally, but we all wish him well. But, yes, we all got together. It was wonderful. 3 years later, it was truly, you hear it, it's like you never stopped. And I think I don't want to say it's going to be better than ever, but it feels like it's been upgraded. There's a trailer we saw at Comic-Con, or at least the first 8 minutes of it. It's visually and everything, it's just bigger and wilder and very, very funny.
That's really cool. So do you have any other plans to act after that? Or are you acting now anywhere?
Well, I just finished. I also write and direct, and I've just finished a little film shooting it called Life with Dog that I'm editing right now. I've got another movie called Mary for Mayor that I've written. I'm not sure if I'll direct it. And I do continue writing and directing. I'm always on the hunt for a good new series. I would love to do a series. At this point in our lives, we've raised our boys. They're up and out. They're on their way. And it'd be nice to do another series for, I'm not sure where. I don't think I'd want it to be in Los Angeles. It'd be nice if it were some locale that was interesting. But I'd love to do another series for 5 or 6 years, just to have a steady life and a steady income. So Amanda and I can pursue some of these other things we want to do with a little more vengeance, whether it's, finding homes that we renovate and flip, or doing a small boutique hotel somewhere in the world. There's some things that we want to do, and it would be nice to just have the workflow be steady, so I know where I'm at, what I'm making,
and we can schedule it out a little bit more.
Exactly, exactly. I love your kitchens. I'm looking at pictures of your kitchens and dining rooms in here. They're so beautiful. I mean, there's so many beautiful pictures in here. I mean, just go through it and...
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, I think also the continuity translates well in the book in terms of, you know, we really do have the our signature colors that we use. We open up, or mostly we open up the kitchen into living room spaces and create all this light. I usually, you know, do a big sort of like center island in the kitchen, which has kind of become the hub of the home. This idea that everybody gathers in that one big room. We also kind of do it on a budget, which I kind of really think people love the idea that you don't, you know, it doesn't have to cost a lot. It's you can go to Home Depot to get the basic brick tile and maybe add a gray grout to it and make it different, but. You know, it's not all Hollywood and glamorous. It's just really understanding how to curate a beautiful home, you know?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I would love people to get out of this book is certainly get a little peek inside our lives, but what we've discovered, and I've really discovered through Amanda, because she's a far more, and I mean this in the kindest way, simple person than I am, without the need for clutter and collecting and stuff and gathering, and the food we eat is basically very simple, nothing extravagant. The homes we live in now, they've become not minimalist, like the modern minimalist. There's certainly stuff around, there are things, but there's a notion of, especially in this day and time where money's tight for everyone, space is tight for everyone, and the world is cluttered with information and bad news. The more you can reduce your lives to a simple living, whether it's what you eat, the clothes you wear, how you shelter yourself, you know, from the state of your home to the interiors of your home, it's nice to, you know, untie the laces a little bit and loosen the straps, if you will, and experience life a little bit more without life sort of caving down around.
Yeah, becoming conscious, becoming more conscious. That's the kind of, it's become a bit of a hip word, but it really is true that, what, you know, we're really enjoying living in the real sense of the word and not just barging through life without really taking anything in.
And the good news now is that, you know, simple living and the style you see in our books and you see around, whether it's in your curated lifestyle store is, sorry, somebody's beeping in that they're not going to get me. It's actually a very cool style right now. So you can live simple and still be cool. You know, you can be high end, you can be celebrity, you can be Hollywood. I mean, I think the old idea of the Hollywood home with the 50,000 square feet and the marble statues and that everybody assumes is Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly.
Celebrities and leaders of taste and style are actually also
not here
starting
right now.
They're leaning toward living a simple life, and they're having a simple structure. It's the look. It's in.
I'm looking at this Santa Fe bed frame. What's remarkable about the bed is it looks very tiny in the picture, but it probably isn't.
In the English, we ended up taking that to England with us, the Santa Fe bed frame, the infamous bed frame. We've actually still got that in storage. That's one thing we've held on to. It looks big in that picture or small in that picture?
It looks small to me for some reason. It doesn't. When you think of Hollywood bed, you always think of these sumptuous, you know, these huge things. But you know, it looks very simple and very. It's neat. I like it, but it just looks tiny in the picture for some reason. Is it really bigger than it looks?
Well, the actual frame is chunky. The big log. You're talking about the log bed in. What page are you looking at?
Page 37.
37?
With a log on the ceiling there. The big long log and then the wood around it.
Yes, the beam in the ceiling is the real part of the house. And then we just got like that Santa Fe bed that Corbin had got before I met him.
works really well in that environment. So the bed is quite large in that room, but no, it's a king-size bed.
Hmm.
It's just angle. It's just the angle of maybe the photograph.
Yeah, it's interesting that, how you look at something, it can make it look bigger or smaller, you know. It's interesting. And then you have the bunk beds with, are those two of your kids there in the picture?
Yeah, that's Angus on the top, or Henry on the top, actually. Henry and Oliver. Yes, we built bunk beds in two of those bedrooms. Friends and kids and,
Wonderful. I mean, the whole book's like that, and I think people are really going to enjoy it. And obviously, you enjoyed writing it.
I really did enjoy writing it, and what unfolded was this idea that it was a story of it was a linear story that went from kind of the beginning to where we are now in France. The last book in the last house in the book is our little French farmhouse where we go now a lot. We've spent the summer there, and it's kind of the ultimate sort of the arc of starting a bit more lavishly in that house in Beverly Hills to where we are now in this kind of simple, sort of frugal farmhouse, you know, in south of France where my family actually lives. So, the book is family and living and kind of just, you know, being authentic.
Are you guys? Do you guys work as hard now on renovation of houses as you always have, or is this more of a quieter time for you?
Well, this year is kind of we're testing out the waters of where we want to. You know, we sold our house in LA last year. We have the one in France, but we are looking and investigating kind of where we're going to put our roots down next. I've always had the dream of maybe, finding a little boutique hotel somewhere. So we kind of, we've got ideas, but we're sort of like a bit nomadic at the moment. We're going to be going around the country. We have plans of a bit of travel to the end of this year and then seeing where that takes us kind of thing.
Exactly. It sounds like your life has been quite an adventure. Four kids and lots of work.
We're starting a new one now.
You're starting a new?
Oh, a new adventure. Our children are back home. It's
right.
The two of us, and we're kind of a bit footloose and fancy free,
Exactly. And you seem like you're both hard workers.
Yeah, well, Corbin's the hardest worker I've ever known. I mean, he is nonstop, but he feeds off kind of creativity and ideas, and he makes movies. He's an actor. He's a director. He's a writer. So he's constantly doing something. I am a hard worker when I'm passionate about something, but I've had, having raised four children, had an acting career. And a design career. It's fun. It's fun being busy.
So will you write more books on renovating? Is this just the first of more to come?
We've got an idea for our next book. It's a bit more focused on our French lifestyle, but we've come up with an idea. We're going to hopefully pitch that soon. But absolutely, the first of many. Who knows? Maybe someone will approach us about doing a show.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That sounds like it'd be right up your alley. You'd enjoy that. I mean, and now with all these people on TV doing that, and yours would be cool, different, I would think.
Well, ours would be unique to us, what we're doing. So, that's the beauty of it. No one else is doing what we're doing because it's us that's doing it.
Exactly. Well, Corbin and Amanda, this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun talking to you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're a very friendly person, Amanda. I love that. And the book, again, is called Open House, Reinventing Space for Simple Living, and it's out from Gibbs Smith in all your bookstores now. And this is
on Amazon.
And Amazon, yes. All
we're
over
number one. We're number one bestseller on the
DUI.
No, do it yourself and interior decorating. We're number one. So,
Well, congratulations. You worked hard on the book, and look where you got you. That's great.
Yes.
and find out more about what we do and share some of the stuff we do. We have a spanking new website, AmandaAndCorbin.com. You can learn, but we're going to tour a bit with the book. People can find out where we're going to be, photographs from our lives. It continues the journey a bit.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again. And this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.